Charlie, then.
Are we ready?
Like to call the Operations and Procedures Subcommittee for Tuesday, special meeting Tuesday, May 7th, to order at 6:35. Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Yes. Barbara DiGenero?
Here.
Beverly Moran?
Here.
Charles Sampson?
Here.
Okay, you have a quorum.
Item number four, petitions, deletions, corrections, and adoption of the agenda. It is a special meeting, so I will just make a motion to adopt the agenda as presented. Is there a second?
Second.
A discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Item number five is the public portion. If you want to wait till we get to your item, we can do it.
Sure.
That might make it, just make it easier.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Anyone else from the public? Besides those that are here on the agenda items. I'll make a motion to close the public portion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, item number six is approval of the minutes from February 28, 2019, and March 28, 2019 meetings. In the last month, I think we didn't have the February in order. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve both sets of minutes.
Second? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, item number seven. Item number seven is discussion regarding the creation of a veterans tax abatement ordinance pursuant to State of Connecticut Public Act 18-102 and/or creation of ordinance pursuant to State of Connecticut Public Act 17-65 entitled an act concerning a municipal option property tax exemption for Gold Star parents and spouses. Discussion, possible action, and recommendations of full board of aldermen and alderwomen. Since last month we talked about this briefly, I just passed you an email that Attorney Marino sent on to me and Charlie regarding an answer he received from the tax assessor about what the limits would be. And I had some question on it, but I know that Attorney Marino couldn't make it tonight, so I would just ask that we look at what he sent us, which I think was a model from Orange, and if we have any questions on that for next month, and I make a motion that we table it to our next month meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
So you have it, yeah. Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, item number eight is a request from resident Regina Crone, owner of 11-15 Bank Street, for parking spaces at the Gilbert Street residential parking lot. City of Derby Code Chapter 186, Vehicles and Traffic, Ordinance Article 10, Section 186-58, et sec, entitled Gilbert Street Residential Parking Lot. I know Ms. Crone is here. Let me just preface by saying that I went again, actually today, but every time I go by, I get a different number of spaces. But my counting, I think, was correct now. There's 19 spaces in that lot, two of which are handicapped, and one is really a questionable spot because I don't even know if you can fit a motorcycle in the spot. So for purposes of, there's probably 16 spaces besides the two handicapped. Even though I know you probably read the ordinance, know of the ordinance, it was set up for that part of Gilbert Street from Route 34 to High Street, and the houses in between. I think in 2016, after the ordinance went into effect, granted a space to a woman who lived right up past High Street in Gilbert. She was handicapped, she didn't have an accessible spot for her, so she was granted a spot down in that lot. Regina is here, she owns a few houses on Gilbert Street, and she's here to request spots for a house she owns on Bank Street, which is next to her residence, which her residence is the corner of Crescent, not Crescent, is the corner of Gilbert and Bank. And I know that Mark sent us, got from the police station, the current permits, and it looks like it was updated, hasn't been updated since like October 2018. It looks like there's probably vehicles that have a permit that didn't renew them, and honestly, I don't think I've seen more than like 6 cars parked in that parking lot, even during the winter. So, if Regina, you just...
Well, I'm not really here for my place, 15 Bank Street. I would say not to give any permits out, not to issue a permit, but what happens is you have the overflow from Marie Antoinette's Bright and Gown Shop when it takes up space there. So a lot of times these people come home from work, they have no place to park. Most of them would really like it, not only my house, I'm just talking about just that lower end of Bank Street there. I think she just lost 2 tenants in his place. I've been told my tenants, a couple of them, are going to move because they can't find parking at all. So what I was suggesting to do is they're not tagging them there now, because I've been watching over the whole week now. There's been a car from Florida that's been parked in there for a week, no permit on it. There's another Pontiac that's been in there, no permit on it, and one just left when I came because I went to go double check on it again. So there's people that are parking there. Monaco Circle has plenty of parking. High Street has plenty of parking. So the only thing I was just asking is, let fans, they can't have it both ways. They can't have a permit to park up there and then park down on Bank Street, because I'm sure they would rather be closer to their homes. They don't want to walk down that hill. But in the event that they come home, like some of them do, 11 o'clock at night, if there's no parking, let them park there, as long as they have a valid Bank Street Derby registration on their car. They're paying your taxes.
So I think that the issue becomes, and I thought initially when I've talked to you a few times, I know you've spoken to Mr. Backlick, I think that part of it, obviously, by the list we have, it says it was updated, you know, and maybe that was the last time somebody went for a permit, it was in October, but it has to be enforced. I mean, we can't control what the police department should be, even if they're there, I know they have a lot to do, but it is a city lot, and they should be looking to see if the people parked there have valid permits. So the issue, I guess, becomes, do we open it up, consider opening it up, to the few more houses on Bank Street? Then we had the request a few months ago from Ms. Quiros up on, they own a few houses on Monaco Circle. We denied her request to get additional parking there. So it's either we have to, we don't have to, but we can consider looking back at the ordinance and changing it. But by looks of that permit list, I mean, it looks like there was only 3 or 4 that are not issued. But where are those cars? Are they, they're not parking in there, or they haven't, they moved, we don't know. I mean, and that's where the enforcement comes in, because if they don't have a valid permit anymore, they don't live there, then they don't have a valid permit.
Excuse me, but I don't think they are enforcing it now, because there's cars there from New Hampshire, there's cars there from New York. I go up there. I'm only.
Well, they could have a car registered. They have to be able to be reside. They have to reside in one of those houses. That's the way the ordinance is written. So even if I lived there and I had a car registered to New York, I'm a resident in in your house. I'm your tenant, but I have a car registered in New York. I'm able to park there because
Well, none of these plates correspond to any of these right now, you know, none of the plates correspond to any of the ones that are updated, or not updated here, though.
I think because this is an ordinance, it will require an ordinance change, I think that we should speak to the chief of police to find out what his policy is in enforcement on this property, which should or should not be being done. And look at the number of permits that have been issued over 2 years. Maybe we can carve out 10 spots for permitted people and then the rest for non-permitted first come, first serve. But once again, like you said, it goes back to enforcement of the parking area. So
maybe
a little homework to do.
I think we discussed this initially when we talked about the ordinance when we got the lot, was that if we left it first come, first serve, then the purpose was for the people around there who can't park because there's a fire lane or not everybody has a driveway on Gilbert Street. That's what it was designed for. And if we get first come, first serve, then those people are going to come home and there's no, you know, then
no,
it's,
I
it's
mean,
a, I know, we, I, I'm,
10 maybe spots if, specifically if, permit, boom, the other six or however many we work out for whoever comes home at 11 o'clock at night, when those six spots
really
is open, they get
that many. I don't really think you need that many.
I don't either, because people want convenience. They don't want to be walking all the
time. That's why they're gonna move on me, because they don't. But they would rather live, they would rather park where they live at Bank Street there than to walk all the way down that hill. So I think there's only like maybe two or three, if there even is that many.
I just hope you understand that this is a town ordinance.
That's what I do. That's so why I don't want preferential treatment of having permits on my property. You know what I'm saying?
No, we appreciate you bringing it up. It's just it's going to take a little work on our part in order to change it.
If we open it up,
well, this
to
has
Bank
been going
Street,
on with me for about 2 years now.
Well,
you probably
get those because
we're going to have to open it up to Monaco Circle too. Anybody that wants to park there in the six spots, we're going to leave blank.
See, but they have parking.
Well,
it's uncontrollable on Bank Street because of the fact that if there's Marie Antoinette's, the bridal shop is open, you know, they take up quite a few parking places. I mean, it's a little different than Monaco Circle situation, I would think.
I've been up to Monaco Circle several times on incidents, and there's little to no parking.
Really?
Put it out in front of your house, so there's no driveway.
Gilbert Street area, that's tough there.
It is.
Well, you know how that all started? That all started when they were doing the bridge over here. What had happened is cars were trying to beat the light down at the bottom of the 34 there. So what they did is they went up Prospect, came down High Street, and it was congested there for such a long time. So then when a fire engine or whatever had to go by or an ambulance, naturally they couldn't get through. But it's not like that now. It'll probably be
like that again once
they start doing this.
That lot alleviated that fire lane issue. Really did.
But
it really
helped. There actually used to be residents there, if I remember.
Steve.
You got Prospect Street that's just as bad. You know, it's a narrow street too, Prospect, and so is Mount Pleasant Street. Those are very narrow streets too. I mean, they did. It did help in that respect, true.
Well, we can, you know, and so what we'd have to do is take a look at it and see if there is something we can propose to change it, which means this will come back to subcommittee next month.
The only thing is I don't want my tenants on Gilbert Street to lose. I mean, every one of those apartments that I have, I'm guaranteed two permits for that.
Unfortunately, ma'am, it's one of those things where we can make everybody happy.
I know. Well, the only trouble is, what's going to happen is eventually if these people move out on me, I'm not going to be too happy because.
If
most of you do know me, I'm not a slumlord, you know,
right.
And I take care of my property very much. And that's the kind of people I like there. And it's getting to the point where those kind of people are not going to come in that area anymore,
I would make a motion we table this for. Pending further investigation and speaking with the chief and looking at the numbers to make sure it's an accurate permit.
And we can get an updated list, yeah. All right, so you're making
I'll
second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. you.
Thank you for my consideration.
Okay, so item number nine is the update from Fieldhouse and Baseball Field Building Committee, Subcommittee, Payton Fieldhouse Maintenance Committee, discussion, possible action, recommendation of the full board of aldermen, alderwomen. I put this on because Chief Coda had presented me with the minutes from the first meeting that was held regarding, I guess to just kind of give us a status of what's going on. I just had a question, and maybe one of you guys can answer it, because you're connected to the committees. This maintenance, everything that's being suggested, is it contained the field as well? Because the way I was reading it, it was like all about, more I've seen, everything had to do with the fieldhouse and the baseball field.
Well, it's the majority of it pertains to the fieldhouse itself. But it does include clearing the snow off the football field, make sure the baseball fields are cleared. Public Works is going to handle that out of their budgets. But this is, the $81,000 is mostly for the field house itself.
Yeah, and did you, what, those, the policy that was, well,
submitted.
A bunch of, yeah.
Submitted.
Is this still being discussed? All these?
Well, there's going to have to be policy set by this city on the use thereof once that building is turned over to us. So.
I mean, this
is kind of. Just the recreation did it so that we could figure out how much to put in the budget.
Right. Well, that's the budget portion of it, yes, but there's other things included in there.
Yeah, there's other things in there about what, you know, who can use it.
Right. Renting it out, so on and so forth. But that's something that, you know, this board will have to approve, use the city property prior to use. It was a starting point. They wanted to give us an idea of what we can do up there. It wasn't anything that's written in stone.
Right.
But from what I hear also, the recommendation or the request to the tax board didn't go well either, so.
All right, I just wanted to, if maybe the next, if he gets the next, well, their meeting. Are they part of the meeting that you were just at?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so Chief Coda's at that one. They have some motions that they have to pass tonight.
If something, I mean, I, something needs to come to us. I'm sure we'll get to it, but I just kind of put it on there as an update.
Yeah, we can come to the next one.
Yeah, we can.
We have some meeting. We actually have a meeting now scheduled for Friday night, Monday night, tomorrow. There's some items that have
something to get. You're ready? More tacos. Cooking judge. Like I needed that.
Your presence is here tonight. There's an eruption of that. Okay, item number 10 is the discussion regarding the creation of a redevelopment.
So I'm sorry, so that'll be just tabled to next month?
Yeah,
table. Okay.
Well, I made a motion to table. Is there a second?
Second.
Any, all in favor?
Aye.
Item number 10, the discussion regarding the creation of a redevelopment agency ordinance, discussion, possible action, and recommendation of full board of aldermen, alderwoman. Okay, who's speaking? Mr. Backlund?
Your name and address for the record?
Andrew Backlund, 501 Roosevelt Drive.
Is that on the riverside?
That is not. I get to look across the river and see that the road. So through our two mechanisms, one being our self-assessment we had conducted by CERC on the state level, that came down and talked about kind of our land use process. So we were here a couple weeks ago, and a strong recommendation that came out of that was that we should have a redevelopment agency. In conjunction with that recommendation, through our administration of the grant that we have from the state for $5 million for this side of the street, we've realized that there are certain things we may need to do when it comes to property transfers and or acquisitions and things like that, that we really don't have a mechanism in place since we abolished or rescinded this agency, I think, in 2014. So it came to the recommendation from NDCOG staff that we strongly consider putting it back in place just so we have, and Vin is actually, Attorney Marino's us actually pulled it into this as well, so that we have certain authorities to conduct certain transactions, I guess is the best way to put it, without being specific as to those transactions at this moment. So without the redevelopment agency, we don't necessarily have the mechanism in place, other than it would have to go to, I guess, directly to this board, no matter what.
For Alderman.
Correct, but I think it would be as kind of a step between to have the redevelopment agency maybe contemplate some of these things and then make recommendation to the Board of Aldermen. And I guess that's the way it was for a long time, and I don't know why we did this in 2014, why we repealed.
Because there was a redevelopment agency that had been appointed for a number of years and never even met.
Right, and there might not have been a purpose.
And it was...
I remember that.
Yeah, it was a complete waste. So, I mean, honestly, I don't know, my feeling is, when you read it, it's the same thing that the Board of Aldermen can do, along with Corporation Council and with, the way I read, the ordinance that we, I mean, I don't know what's the difference. I mean, and honestly, it was created those years ago, right, Mark? In the, yes. Probably in the 60s, when,
But then it was dormant for a bunch,
right.
of, if I may. It was dormant for a bunch, yeah. of years, and then we readopted it in 99. This was the repealing of it.
When you became mayor?
After I did, because the statute, it was 98 or 99, I forget. But this section, Chapter 1, Title 8, Chapter 130, is the redevelopment statute, and the main issue is that a legislative body of the town, whether it's the Board of Aldermen or a town meeting, depending on how the town is set up, doesn't have the power to assemble property. Like the Board of Aldermen doesn't have no legislative body. The statute delegates it only to a redevelopment agency specifically, not an economic development commission, and not even an economic development corporation like they have in Shelton. Those are different statutes and they have different authority. The specific authority is with the redevelopment agency to assemble property. So, I mean, the extreme version of assembling property is like eminent domain. That's like the but really the authority to like the hammer or the like the statutory authority is, and I remember this because we struggled, why do we even need to do this back then? It was like a necessary reality because, and there were many more parcels then to assemble than, you know, then. But that's why, and that's where their authority came in the 60s was to take those properties
and
take all that stuff.
We own more than. You know,
the difference, like I said, difference is that the assembling of property.
And there are three or four properties of interest to us on that side that are going to be a linchpin in the development. And that's the best. I mean, if I'm going to name the parcels, I can. But I mean, I think it may be best to queue this up more carefully with Attorney Marino before the full board. But I think the sooner we have this in place, the better we are. Position, and I don't think we've even thought about who we would appoint to this or anything else like that. I think if we can readopt the ordinance and then work on the makeup of it together after that, that would probably position us, you know, pretty well for what we're looking in the coming months.
So I mean, this is what we repealed. So I don't know if Attorney Marino has even looked at this specifically to say, do we need
to make some changes.
Make changes, or is this, you know,
sufficient?
I don't.
This was what was adopted in 98.
And that's what we stayed on the books. And
yeah,
that's what
I just took this piece
right,
because
was,
it was easier to grab
right.
that quick. It was quicker.
And it was what stayed until
14.
Obviously, we're going to have to push it back like a month, go until June. But we need to get Attorney Marino's input on what this statute needs to say in order to accomplish the goals of this agency. And then going back to Barb's question, once, based upon what Marcus just said with this statute, if they're the only ones with authority to assemble properties, then does it have to come to the Board of Aldermen? Or do they have the authority to say, yes, City of Derby, do this?
I think still, because by the way our charter reads, so.
I think we need a little.
I told him we need input for Attorney Marino, and I don't want to give.
Is June going to hurt us?
I don't think so. I don't think there's anything that's going to happen tomorrow, but I think that it will be something that I think we have to pay careful and close attention to, because I would hate to be at a juncture where we have to make an important decision.
Well, our next OP meeting by schedule is, in 2 weeks, so.
Yeah.
And then we're back to June 10th or whatever our Board of Aldermen meeting is, whatever that June thing is.
Yeah, I think we're good with that. Attorney Marino needs to have a very conversation with maybe the three of you at the next meeting to make you aware of why it's necessary.
I can contact them by email and say that should he do something for.
So table for the next meeting, motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Item number 11 is the discussion regarding the possible use of a city-owned vehicle by the building official Carlos Sarmiento. Discussion, possible action, and recommendation of the full Board of Aldermen, Alderwoman. Okay, what do we got?
Can I speak?
You can.
Thank you. I'm going to Bridge Seeking, 17 Krakow Street here. The reason we came up with this was certain things, especially with my history as a police officer, I like to see visible vehicles when they go to houses for inspections. For the building inspector to show up with a big pickup truck, a lot of people are like, who is he? And he gets out of the car, like, what do you want here? You know, at least I want to see a vehicle that's visible that says City of Derby Building Inspector. If you look at the fire marshal now, the thing is decked out to City of Derby, fire marshal on it, so he pulls up, you see what it is. You don't have that little sticker on there anymore, because it was kind of like confusing what's going on. So I'm thinking that's a safety issue and more of a informative issue for the residents, so that they know it's out there, that they know what he is coming in there. So and on the second part of this too is that his vehicle is a bigger vehicle and the gas that it was using and stuff. So a smaller vehicle, I know he's a big guy, but he lost a lot of weight. He can fit into a smaller vehicle. I want to get one of those smart cars, but I don't think we get them there. But gas mileage is going to be better, so we're going to be saving money there. And then the stipend that he's getting for his other vehicle is $3,000 a year. Take that $3,000, put it towards a lease for the building department. And it'll be decked out, says building inspector, and he's getting the gas from the pumps that we're going to be getting up in Ansonia. I think it'll be more cost efficient for the City of Derby. And it's more visible, and I think it's more safety for him that they know who's pulling up to their houses. So I think it's a win-win for the city, and I hope you guys will think about this and send it up to the full board. Thank you.
My take first?
Yeah.
There's my take.
And then.
The what? It's a couple things I'm throwing out there. And one of them just happens because it's bringing an issue that's been an issue to light that hasn't come to light for a long time. And that's the vehicles that are used by city officials, when they're used, personal use versus, as part of their job. So that's just one concern I've had, and I've always had that concern as long as I've been on the board, because it just, to me, it's liability. I know you had your truck. And I'm only because you're here, and I've brought it up before, and there's been no gas report in the last 4 months because we don't have it, but looking, and I look every month. So I know you put a lot of miles on.
25 gallons a week I use.
You use a lot of miles, a lot of gas. Okay, I'm just saying that.
So if I may, I use a full tank for the city, and I usually put $40 a week out of my pocket for the weekend when I use it. So yeah, my truck is a pig in gas, yes.
I don't want to argue. I'm just saying what, you know, I look. So I looked last year. I looked in 2018. You still put an awful lot of miles. You're putting so much more miles than a patrol car is putting on. So I that's just one of the things. Mm-hmm. And again, if there's a way to do it, I think also, I know that there's an estimate here. We still have to follow the bid requirements. So you still either have to get a vehicle that's off the bid list, the state bid list, or you got to come up with three.
We got two already.
Yeah,
there's only one. We only have one. So
I got the state bid. The state bid was outrageous.
Okay.
It doubles that.
All right. So there's only one here. Yes. That's all
okay.
I'm saying.
I do have another one, and I can get as many as you want.
So that's one of the other things. I know that you had a $3,000. There's always been a vehicle allowance, and maybe for my concern, and maybe there's somebody else on the board that's going to have a concern. Maybe in other vehicles too. I'm not just saying him, but maybe GPS got to be. I know that Public Works had GPS.
We talked about this.
Again, it's tax time. You know, gas is $3 a gallon. You know, I mean, and I think. And I'm not trying to begrudge what you do. I want to make a point to what you're saying, if I may. Accountable. Mm-hmm. Accountable.
So when I talked to the mayor, when he suggested this to me, I said, you know what, Mayor?
Barb's going to give me a hard time.
No. I might have said that. But besides that, what I said was, do me a favor. If we're going to do this, I want the city marked. And I said, put effing GPS on it. So when people go, where is he? You can go.
Yeah.
There he is.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's the point I had. Just, and you know what? That's been burning me when people go, oh, we want to know where you are. Call me. Jesus Christ, call me. You know where? The mayor knows where I am. Andrew knows where I am all the time. You want to find
me,
just call me.
You're not the only one. That's my point.
Yeah.
There are, listen, I look every month.
And I heard that the way that take home vehicles, the Board of Aldermen had an agreement. I talked to Phil. Because I went to Phil, I'm like, Phil, what's the agreement with the cars? And he said, the way it works is, if you're going to go within responding time, in other words, you go into Naugatuck, you take your city vehicle. You go into the casino, you take your own vehicle. So that's how it works. So within responding distance, you take the city vehicle if you have to respond. If not, you don't.
And again, is it a become a capital? But you still need, whether it goes to capital plan to be approved, however we do this, we still have to follow the bidding process.
Right.
That doesn't go away.
Before. He's got Grand Haven, and we got the city bid.
Somebody else.
And the state bid was even higher, too.
Since you had an incident?
You don't have to, you're on tape. You just had an incident. I told my truck.
Okay. I did. I got a front blowout, and I smashed my truck, and you know what? And what the mayor said before, you know how many times I pull into people's houses and they go, oh, wow, city buys you that? I'm like, no, I came from the private sector. And I brought that truck from the private sector. And before that, I had a Lexus LX740. You want to talk about commons when I came out of the car there. So I would love with a little SUV that says City of Derby. So when I pull up to the thing, there's no commons. And it's like, oh.
This is a Jeep Compass. So what was the other ones that you looked at?
Jeep Compass. We only looked at the Jeep Compass.
That's smaller, right?
It's a mid-size SUV.
Yeah.
Just to give you an idea.
I've been driving
a Hyundai Santa Fe for the last 30 days. Like I said, on average, I will put one full tank from the pump, and then on the weekends, I will put $40 out of my pocket to get me through the weekend. I put 17 gallons the first week and a half after I used the Santa Fe, and I just put another 12 gallons 3 days ago. So in a month, I used 19 gallons versus 100 gallons that I was using on my truck. My truck, I got 9 miles per gallon. That's the only reason why I kept my truck, to be honest with you, because I didn't have to pay for the gas. If I had to pay for the gas to use it during city time, my taxes, $1,400 on that truck. My insurance, $118
a
month.
Right, I understand that.
So, it's outrageous.
Again, that was for however long, going back to, Dave, mm-hmm. you got a vehicle allowance because you were using
your vehicle.
But you're also getting, you know, gas and.
Well, I should have gone a Jeep Compass 6 years ago when I got hired. That's what I should have done.
Too bad you couldn't fit in a smart car.
I'm actually. The smart cars are more money, actually, Barb.
They'll have to sit in the back seat.
The smart cars are $30,000 for a smart car.
Ahead,
Jesus
Charlie.
Christ.
I'll straight up call. I'm in favor. I agree with what the mayor's saying that, you know, it's tough for you to pull up in front of a house. You're going to be going in to do inspections in neighborhoods. And people are looking around like, who's this guy coming around our neighborhood? What's going on? I know that probably my family would be concerned because they don't know you. Mm-hmm. Once they learn that you were a big teddy bear, they give in. But something that does trouble me, like Barb said, is we don't have a citywide written policy on take-home vehicles. Now I get it. The police chief and his command staff, I get that, because they need to go where they need to go. The fire chief, I get that. The fire assistants, not so much, but they do get a stipend. The building inspector, yes, because the fire department's calling you out at all different hours of the day, and you do respond, and you have an obligation, pretty much as the only inspector here in the city of Derby. But I still...
Well, Charlie, if I can just cut you off real quick, there is something written, I think it's in my office too, that says how many gallons each individual is allowed, the fire marshals.
That's the only thing we limited. We limited the fire marshals and the fire...
The assistant chief.
Nobody else.
We're unlimited.
Right.
My concern more is... Right. With a take-home vehicle, what do we allow? Okay? We have nothing in writing that says you can't go to the casino.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a, hey, listen, we don't expect you to be at the casino when we hit the GPS.
Common sense is not so common, Price.
Right.
I know.
And you can't teach it.
I know.
So I believe that we need a policy in writing that comes out of the office for all city.
It's got to be everybody. It can't be.
Because
you don't remember, Barbara, about this policy that Phil's talking about? He says the aldermen are the ones that put it in place. So it might be something written somewhere.
We expect Mike to respond. You know, tonight we're supposed to be getting severe weather tonight.
Right.
And if something goes sideways, we expect Mike to respond with his take-home vehicle because that's part of the perks. We also have to see how we can get around with the tax requirements because technically you need to claim that on your taxes. So we need somebody to look into that aspect of it too, so somebody doesn't come back to us and say, hey, this administration's skirting the tax issues, or Carlo himself is, and we wind up with a problem.
I talked to my accountant because I happened to meet with him, and he goes, you will have to report it as one of your perks of the work. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Which in turn was the $3,000 that he was getting a 1099 for $3,000,
right.
No matter however he spends it. But what I don't agree, I agree with you, we have to have a policy. And I think everybody has to be in that policy. You can't say that you understand what the chief and the lieutenants do. Listen, they're using their vehicles all the time, 100% of the day, personal and business.
Yes.
Okay? So the policy got to apply to everybody. It can't just be to the building inspector. It can't just be to the fire marshal. It can't just be to the fire chief.
The scope of it, but what I'm saying is I totally understand why a police chief would have a car, because if there's a shooting on Anson Street, the police chief's
car.
He needs to have a car. But I do believe we need to have a policy that encompasses everybody here. Everybody takes a car home.
Well, you were asking me about, I believe the vehicle from the fire marshal, it goes way back before I was...
Because we're talking about the expense, if I may, before we change the subject. And I said, the miles that I put in the car, you mentioned the miles. So I gave him an estimate. I said, for work alone, it's probably between 8,000 and 14,000 miles per year. He goes, you out of your mind. He goes, you should be claiming that they should be paying you by the mile. He goes, if the city has to pay you by the mile, they'll get you a car. He goes, trust me. He goes,
you
should be getting three times what you're getting for your
stipend. But you were getting your $3,000.
And that was fine. And listen.
And honestly, so again, you're going to, when you go to the tax board, if you ask for that $3,000 allowance,
good luck.
They need
technically,
unless you guys tell them to. Then,
Well,
let me tell you something about the $3,000. When I got here, it was slightly less. I was getting $233. You guys increased it.
I know, so there was
Henry Donrod, for 3 years, he has not given me the extra $17 a month. Okay?
And why did you ever come to us?
And we did, and I put it on the agenda, and they will take it out. And I mentioned this to the new finance director, and they says, until the board approves it, and it was put on the agenda several times, 3 years. 3 years I've been getting for the $17 a month extra.
There are things that
you guys approved
like,
it 3 years ago.
Last week. He asked me to put it on, and then when I had to change the meeting, I forgot.
Yeah.
But to go back to the point about Phil, the fire marshal's vehicle was the old fire chief's vehicle. Mm-hmm.
I think he used his vehicle for a while, too.
He did. They rotated, and he got an old fire. I don't know if the Mr. I don't have one. I mean, Steve would.
And
I don't think he had one.
The fire chief's vehicle used to be an old police vehicle.
Okay, so if I may, the mayor and one of the lieutenants from the police department, they went and they showed me a couple of vehicles that are available. And this was my only concern about an expedition with 140,000 miles. The gas usage is going to be the same. I need something reliable. I'm the only inspector here. And I'm doing blight. I'm doing zoning. That's why the mileage. Somebody calls me. I get in my car and I go.
That's still, I know.
So I could not have something
unreliable.
I know
unreliable. What I do.
I know. I'm just justifying it to tell you.
It's a lot of miles.
You know how many miles, how many times I drive from the west side to the east side to the west side to the east side?
Sometimes I go back and forth myself four times.
Sometimes I go, oh, my God. And I look and I put 160 miles in one day. I'm like, how is that possible when our city is 5 square miles? Yeah. It's possible.
All right. So
He has one from Fitzpatrick, which was more. It was only 10,000 miles. Mm-hmm. It was about $10 or $15 a month more.
Yeah.
We went to Grand Haven, went to a guy out there, bumped it up to 12,000 miles, and it was $15 cheaper.
It's a dealership in Milford. I can reach out to Milford.
And then we got the state. Yeah. So, I mean, there's three
but
right
still,
there.
All right, so then it's still got to get to, yeah.
We can say yes, but Capital still has to approve the plan.
Yep.
I don't see Capital
it's a lease.
Not approving
not
the plan.
Because I'm looking at this way. So you're taking the 3,000.
Can I say something? Yeah.
No, but it's still, it's so new. It's,
you can't use that for that.
Don't try to.
So you could not use the 3,000, just change the name, because it's car allowance for the building inspector.
Right.
Can you use that as a car allowance, as a lease car allowance?
You can't change the line item. Your line item is going to change, because you're not going to get that car
allowance. That's right.
You have to let them know at the tax board, so you could go downstairs.
Although,
well,
don't worry about it. Somebody at the tax board will make sure that.
What they do is they zero your line item,
yes,
and they transfer that money into capital.
Because it's going to, if you do it by way of lease, you got to get keys.
I'm used to them taking things out of my budget and not putting it anywhere. So it's comforting to see it go somewhere else.
But I would put it in the elevator.
Once again,
I'm not going in the elevator.
Let's get a written policy. Somebody's got to have a
written
policy.
Well, listen, so we bring it back here. We do it here.
But the written policy, too, is with the gas mileage that you guys.
Right, there's gas.
No, it had nothing to do with taking. I know what it said.
But it did say personal use for him, fire marshal, and the mayor. That was included in the gas mileage. It was unlimited. It was basically unlimited.
It was a gas one because
there
was a complaint came in that, and I don't know who started that complaint. I think Public Works ex-director started that, saying these guys are using a lot of gas. And that started the gas. And it was it's exactly what it says. It says gas policy.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't say, can I take my vehicle to, you know, blah, blah.
It's a city jersey.
It's the liability, I know.
God forbid somebody gets, not Carlo, because he's probably not having any more babies, but they put their little kids in the back seat. The city's insuring this thing. If an accident happens, the city's liable.
Stop it.
So
no grandchildren yet.
We need something that put together that says, this is when you can use it, how I can use it. Is what we expect.
Listen, I bet you our insurance company or our carrier now. No, they probably think that some of these city vehicles are being, you know, they drive to work and they go home.
Right.
And that's where it sits. Or it sits in a parking lot and they take it when they need it. That's another issue.
The only ones you're talking about is the police department.
Everybody.
One Public Works Department truck. And you got
Phil
the fire marshal.
Oh, I mean, no, I'm not on that list yet.
Not the
how many police
but still, Yeah, right.
Police department.
Right.
You got four of them.
Four.
We got more than four.
Take homes? You got four.
Oh, you got the detectives?
Chief, deputy chief, Sal and Justin, those are the four.
And then you had a couple other.
Well, he might have an undercovers, but those are leases that they, rentals. You have Phil.
Ponzi.
And Ponzi.
That's it.
Those are the only city-owned vehicles.
And you have the fire chief.
And Laskowski.
But those are all, and Laskowski too. But the rest of them, the assistants are all their own. I'm my own, he's his own.
You're not coming next month and ask for a car.
All the assistants are.
You're not getting one.
I don't know, I like my job. Matter of fact, I'm getting a new truck anyway, just to let you know.
Well, you must get it, you get an allowance.
No, I do.
Yeah, right. But the point, I know, it could be one truck. You need one person to get in an accident and we have a liability.
My thing is.
So we need a policy.
But my thing is, my main thing is, it's like when this guy shows up, I know he's a handsome guy now, before he was a little bigger and he was scary, but now look at him. I mean, he's all, you know, he's all sleeved up. He comes to your house, you're like, I want to inspect your house. You're like, whoa, in order to you.
Well, that's why he wears the city derby thing. He's got his.
But at least it says.
Every badge hanging and everything else.
So what do we need to do here? I would agree with Barb. We can't, number one, skirt the bidding process. So maybe a third quote, please.
Yep.
But I think it's got to, I think even if it's a lease, it's got to go to.
According to, I talked to McLiberty about this, it's got to go to capital.
It's got to go to capital plan. So
the city is done from capital plan. All right. And the last thing I'm just going to ask for is go to some other town and find out if they have vehicle policies. And let's just get one. You know what?
CCM, yeah.
Let's wrap this up with a big bow.
Listen, this is what we did.
However, I don't want the chief of police to hate me because I started policy on how you can use this car.
No, listen,
we don't implement it. It's implemented by the mayor.
And you don't know how that, for a year, it bothers me because it just, I'm worried. You know, I'm worried. Something happens and it could happen. But, we did it for Phil in like a month. If we can get a capital plan, he could call a special, same thing. He could call a special meeting and then come back to the full board meeting as well. June 10th? Like, what is that?
June 10th. Yeah.
It's not yet. Today's already the 7th.
Okay. Well, I will do whatever you need me to do, but thank you. Thank you for entertaining us.
So you got two right now. We'll get one more.
Yeah.
And if you could ask the state.
Maybe we get a cheaper one. Now, can I say something? In order for the lease, because I've been looking at it, in order for this lease to work even better with the $3,000 budget, will you guys entertain taking $2,000 of my budget that I have not used and put it as a down payment that will reflect the 4 years?
We can't do that.
You can't do that? Okay.
That's why
I'm asking.
Listen, it comes to us to say, yes, we will approve. We approve the city working out the purchase of a leased vehicle and adding property to the city. At which point the vote has to fund that approval because it's outside the scope of what's already been approved in the budget. How they do it with taking your car allowance, taking $2,000 that's left over, that's up to them.
Oh, okay.
We don't have the say in that. And technically, it would probably have to be, the vote's going to probably have to agree to take that line item back and then appropriate it to capital funding.
They'd have to transfer. Because so that would be the same thing.
If we can grab the $2,000, that will put our lease at $230 a month. So that will be one way to lower the lease below the $3,000.
What did you say in the beginning, Carl?
The $2,000, that will eliminate, it will actually, on average, is $20 per thousand on the lease. So that will drop from the $276, it will drop another $40 if we're able to put a down payment of $2,000.
What?
Well, I don't have a problem with that, but it says right here that you need $4,000.
But so listen, that's why Keith has to get involved with, because even with Phil's and the Brandhaven one, yeah, it did.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I apologize, I did not see that.
With Phil's lease, I think there was a few dollars more in there that Phil didn't, and I don't think it was his fault. He didn't realize.
Yeah, financing. So, he didn't take in the
so it might be, charge. Again, so July 1st. Yeah. Did you use up your $3,000 from this year?
Not yet. Because I only get $233. So if you can entertain the fact that my stipend should be raised to the $250, to bring it to the full board, for them to approve it from 4 years ago.
We can't bring it yet.
All right.
We need the third, and we.
All right, we'll get the third. I'll get the third.
I would say talk to Keith in between.
We talked to him already a few times.
Well, he should know.
And living with a car person for 100 years, don't take the state bid just because it's.
Oh, the state bid is a ripoff. The state bid is not.
He's been telling me that for.
I'm not going to start trouble, but I can't believe how much the police department's paying for cars if that's what they're paying. Because I got a bid to get a regular police car. $600 a month.
Well, the only reason I say the state bid is because the state, if you take a.
How do they, do mileage?
That's why.
If you take.
But like mileage on all these cars.
Do we want to entertain financing of vehicles that are leasing it?
He has to tell them what he thinks he's going.
Because what happens is at the end of the 5 years, kind of like the end of your 3-year lease, we get a new vehicle. And we get whatever, we recoup whatever that vehicle is worth at the end of it.
But that, Ben just had a, she just had a, you need to know how many miles you go here because you go over that.
Well, I never go over 12,000 on my personal vehicle. A city vehicle is going to use, and now you can take my word for it, it's going to be used for city work. I have my own personal vehicle, I have a motorcycle. The last thing I want to do is go in a car that says City of Derby anywhere.
But you're not going to motorcycle during the winter storm. So my point is you got to make sure that when you do this leasing, and that's something Keith probably is aware of, you go over the mileage you're allowed, then you were paying.
And that's why we bumped it up from 10 to 12.
Yes, you did. That was the mayor's idea to bump it up an extra 2,000 miles.
I knew a guy that.
Purchased the car. We get better value.
Oh, you got to go. Yeah, you spent, okay, you came for half an hour.
So listen, I'll get purchased. That's not an issue at all. Especially if the city's, I'm sure we get a good APR rate with the city, or not.
That's why you got to talk to, however, you know, whatever.
You got to work it out with Keith. Yeah, Keith knows his stuff inside. Okay.
But you might want to, I wouldn't say take your money from money that you had coming to you for the year for your allowance.
The budget line item for the, you get paid monthly.
They give it to me monthly. No, they give it to me monthly.
This year is basically a wash.
I got 2 months to go. So that's $500 bucks they got to give me left.
You got July 1, you know, that's probably, plus the lease would probably.
You start, that would be a great start for the lease too. Start on that.
I would, in capital set in June, we start being in the May, beginning of June. So.
All right, let me get the other bit and.
Get the other bit, sit down with Keith.
We'd like me to get a different bit on a different vehicle? Was that something that if it can be cheaper or we want to stay with the same vehicle?
What I would do is I would actually, two things. I would, number one, get 3 bids on a vehicle itself.
Okay.
Cost of a vehicle.
Yeah.
No lease, just cost of a vehicle.
Cost of a vehicle, yeah.
I would get 3 on the lease.
So we have something.
But you would want this Jeep. You had 2 prices on the same vehicle. Then get a 3rd one on this vehicle.
Yeah, and I'm going to call all 3 of them. This is what I'm going to do.
I know.
I'm going to call one more.
How does it have to be?
I'm going to get one more to get another lease, but I'm going to also contact the other 2 and tell them to give me a sale price to buy it. So I'll have the 6, 3 and 3.
Keith will tell you what the numbers are and how we work it out.
Okay.
I think it's probably a better, like everything we do, we purchase the vehicles over a 5-year lease.
Yeah.
Trade them in.
You're going to.
I'll call the
party. Perfect. Oh, we can use it until it dies.
And then you're not limited by mileage. You can go to the east side and the west side 100 times.
Okay.
So, I would suggest that we.
Technically, we're going to table it.
Right, because it's on our agenda Thursday, but it's going to be useless.
I'm not going to have that time to do that.
Right, it's going to be useless talking.
I'll get you the info.
Take it off there, and we'll
hang tight till July 1.
Yeah, take it off.
What kind of car are you looking for?
It's a Jeep Compass. It's a $19,000 midsize
AMC
SUV.
Pacer. I used to have one of those. Come on.
All right,
what's it called? The Jeep Compass?
Compass. Yes.
Junior Leonard has one.
Oh, yeah, Fitzpatrick's, guess where?
Yeah. I don't know where it came from.
That's where it came from.
I think it was Breeze.
When I was looking at him, I was actually looking at it for myself and for my wife. And I saw it, and I told the guy, I said, this is a nice looking car. I said, can you get the keys? He goes, why? I said, I want to make sure I fit in it. Because I don't know if I fit in it, to be honest with you. I never fit in a car like that. And I got in, and I'm like, okay, I fit in it. It's amazing.
Those Subarus are pretty.
I like the Subaru that he drives. But they're $30,000 for those cars.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah. How about those other?
How about the truth?
Like the Outback.
Yeah, they're $30,000 for the Outback.
Yes. My mother was going to get the Outback, but then she ended up with the Honda because it was at the end of it, the Honda was bigger. The CRV, then this and it was like the same amount of money at the end of it.
Okay, I'll second.
Have you got claims, is that the?
Hang on, let's go out of this, and then we'll. Second.
Who made the motion?
Mark, Charlie, I made the second, the table. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, item number 12 is adjournment, 7:30 PM.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
You're welcome.
We'll see you next month.
We'll see you.
So I'm gonna make you laugh.